I forgot I was recording. Hello, gang. 70. I am at 70,100 miles on this car. Anyway, it's a Faye driver. Obviously, I've forgotten how to do this. It's been so long. I turn on my police detector definitely today. Oh, it's noisy. And, so we're off on a big adventure today. I'm running to town. Roll up my windows here. Is that up? There, that's up. That's up. That's better. We are in nearly the last day of the month of October. Come on, shifter. Everything's a little cold. It is 0 degrees Celsius here, freezing. 32 degrees Fahrenheit, I think. Or somewhere around there. And I'm out, I'm on my way to Costco, which is an hour away, but I also have some other errands to do. I gotta go to the BC assessment, which is the property, the people who determine the value of your property so that you can be taxed exorbitantly. So I gotta go to the BC assessment office today to meet my best friend and biggest enemy. To talk about property values. Now, what do I need to tell you about? Today we're going to talk about toothbrushes and batteries and elections. So, let's talk about toothbrushes. I believe there is a conspiracy by the Canadian Dental Association. I guess the American Dental Association too. Wow, this car is loud, eh? Ugh. Time to get rid of it. Get a new one. The American Dental Association and the Canadian Dental Association have conspired with the toothbrush companies to stop making stiff bristle toothbrushes. Oh my God. And I'll tell you why I think this. Did you know that you can no longer buy a stiff bristle toothbrush? You can only get toothbrushes that are wimpy. They're so fucking loose that they don't do anything. They don't brush your teeth. And this is what dentists want, because the dentist wants you to get a bunch of plaque and crap on your teeth, so you have to come into the dentist's office and do dental cleanings for $150 of every 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever. So, I have a couple of toothbrushes that are about 20 years old that are stiff bristle brushes. Of course, they're falling apart and you have to keep sanitizing them, which is a pain in the neck. I've lost one of my stiff bristle toothbrushes. It just died. Couldn't do anymore. It lived its life and gave up. It fought valiantly for 20 or 30 years because they stopped making these stiff bristle brushes. And you know, the dentist gives you, oh, here, have a free toothbrush. It's a fucking piece of crap that wouldn't clean dust off your desk. I need some air conditioning flow here. I'm fogging up. I'm so mad that we're fogging up. How do I do? Turn the fan up. I have not driven this. I very rarely drive this car. It's a travesty. I barely know how to operate all the buttons on it. Anyway, so that's my supposition. I say that the Canadian Dental Association and the toothbrush people, Oral-B, are in cahoots. All right, let's move on to batteries. Well, as you can imagine, being that I'm new to podcasting, I ran out of battery power in the middle of my extremely good story. But I'm just going to carry on. I'm going to tell you about batteries. We'll leave the toothbrush conspiracy behind, and we'll just move on to batteries. Now, I have three vehicles. I wish I had four vehicles. I have three vehicles, and all of the vehicles that I have 12-volt batteries in them. I have a gigantic truck, which has, I have a police officer. I did not stop talking. Good hiding spot. I just passed a police officer we're in a construction zone, and I'm actually doing the speed limit over the bumps. And there's a copper there hidden behind a bush nabbing the speeders. See if he gets anybody. I know this area, and I know to not speed through here, so not gonna get me here, Kappa. All right, let's get back to these batteries. So I got this pickup truck. It's got two gigantic batteries in it. Those batteries are now 5 years old. I have the Tesla also has a 12-volt battery, just like your regular car battery in your Toyota Camry. And you might be surprised. I thought the Tesla had a gigantic 48-volt battery or something like that. And so why does it have a 12-volt battery? Well, the Tesla, everything in the Tesla, like the doors, the windows, the fan, the heating fan, you know, the headlights, all that stuff runs off of 12 volts. So that's why you need a 12-volt battery. Now, that 12-volt battery is exhibiting some issues. That battery, the car has said, given me some error messages about your battery is dead, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of looked into it. And what happens is the car, the Tesla, is constantly monitoring the state of the battery. And if the battery gets below, you know, like 12.4 volts, which is a normal thing. These 12-volt batteries, they go up and down. You get in your car, you turn it on. The battery charges up to like 13 or 13.5 volts. You do your shopping and you come home. You turn the car off. The battery has been charged up to 13.5 volts or maybe 14. And then the voltage immediately drops off and the battery starts to lose its voltage. That's normal. A healthy battery will operate between like 12.4, 12.3 volts up to like 13.6 or 13.8 for a lead acid battery, something like that. So this Tesla battery has been dropping down below the 12.4 volt threshold. But when that happens, the car wakes up, the gigantic 48-volt battery energizes, gets woken up and connected, and that 48 volt battery feeds power to an inverter. It's actually a DC to DC converter. The DC to DC converter provides 12 volts back to charge the battery. It goes into the battery. So this cycle keeps happening. The battery loses its voltage, the car wakes up, it turns on the inverter, charges the battery back up to, you know, roughly 14 volts, and then it shuts off and goes back to sleep. So, you know, I've always noticed my car, sometimes I go into the garage and that Tesla is awake and it's buzzing and fans are whirring and it's doing something, and I never understood, why is the car awake? Sometimes it's because we've left our Bluetooth keys on, you know, the key, your phone is a key for this car, and if you leave your Bluetooth and your Tesla app running, that wakes the car up, and the car thinks, oh, there's a key nearby, we're going to go for a drive, so the car's running. So, you know, we're constantly making sure that your Bluetooth is off, so you're not triggering the car. So, by the way, did you hear that Vader bought a Tesla Model 3? Congratulations, Vader. Good luck with that. I'm not really a fan of Teslas. It's a good car, but not a car that I would buy again. So, that battery is suspect, and it may be dying. That battery is 4 years old, possibly 5 years old. Since that car was manufactured in something like March of 2020. Okay, so, however, today we're going to buy a new battery at Costco for this car that I'm driving, the Porsche, because the battery in this car is like 10 years old. I put the battery into this car in 2017, and that battery came out of the BMW that I had when I bought a battery for it, because this battery was exhibiting some problems. So this old BMW battery that I put in this car in 2017, well, that's now 8 years old. Very likely could be 10 years old, this battery. And it is definitely dead. This battery drops down to 12.2 volts, 12.0 volts, and I have a battery tender on it. So this battery is now toast. So today, we're going to Costco to buy a battery for this car, which will be $200. But also, I've got 3 other batteries I'm probably going to have to buy in the next year or so, because we've got five and six year old batteries. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of money spent on batteries, which is a shame, because I have a couple of 12 volt batteries that I took out of the RV, which are gigantic batteries. They're really big. But they're brand new. They're like 1 and 2 years old, these other two batteries I have. But this is what gets me. Why do we not standardize the battery? Why can we not have a battery that's configured the same? Now, I understand there's going to be size differences. You know, the truck batteries, they're physically really big. They're about the same size as these RV batteries. But the posts are different, right? The positive post is on the right side and the negative is on the left side in the truck. And an RV battery, it's different, right? It's the opposite. So you can't just plop any old battery into, you know, it'd be great if I could use those 12 volt RV batteries in the truck, because, you know, that's a $300 battery there, that RV battery, and it has the same capacity. It even has cold cranking amps, which is another thing you need to know about. So that those batteries would be great if they would just fit in the truck, but the posts are the wrong configuration, and it's not really practical to be able to. You'd have to change the cables, and it's just not happening. So that's my battery story. All right, now let's talk about this. So we had here in British Columbia, we had an election for our provincial government. In British Columbia, we have 93 ridings. So we have 93 representatives scattered around the country who come to the capital of the province and do all the legislative things, right? They decide how much you should pay for a speeding ticket. And, let's build a bridge here. You know, all that government stuff, all the governmental ministries. So we had an election here. And I worked on election day. I was the manager. I ran the polling location of a voting place where everybody came to vote. I had about 10 employees, although one of them never actually came to work. He was like a 25, 30-year-old guy who apparently slept in and just didn't show up, which really made our life difficult. And then I had one guy who was redeployed, who said, "We need your man. He's got to go to a different place because someone else didn't show up." So I lost two men, two boy. Well, I should say two men. I lost two people. They were both boys. So I was running my polling location with, was it eight people and me? So it was a little bit, it was pretty hectic. Now, I got to tell you, this election in our province this year had the highest voter turnout of any of elections in many recent years. We had a 57% turnout of voters. So 57% of the voters in the province came out and voted at this election. That is a huge number, because typically we get about 30% voter turnout. And the other crazy thing is, usually we have three primary, like, major parties that run, that put up candidates in these elections. And then there's a couple of fringe parties, like the Marijuana Party and the Green Party, which is a bunch of environmentalists. And they don't do so well. The Greens got two people elected in this election. But what happened was, we had these two parties, the conservatives and the liberals. Now, the liberal, and then we have the NDP, the New Democrats. We have the New Democrats were the governing party. They were in power. They've been the party in power for the last two elections. And we have our elections about every 4 or 5 years. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's generally a set time frame. I got to get around a big truck here. I'm just going to pass this guy. So, at the beginning of the election, we were going to have the New Democrats, the Conservatives, and the Liberals. And at the last minute, like a month before or 2 months before the election voting day was to happen, or before the election was, the campaign period was supposed to start, the Liberal Party caked it. They said, "We quit. We're stepping out." The leader of the Liberal Party said, "Fuck this, we're not doing it." And that was a huge surprise. So we ended up having only two parties, the Conservatives and the NDP. Now, this is very similar to the American situation, where those fucking Republicans who are the assholes of the political party. This is what the conservatives are. You know, they're anti-trans. They're, you know, let's not tax the rich, give everybody a good tax break, and all this kind of bullshit. Well, this election was so close. It came there, out of the 93 seats that we could elect, 46 of them went to the NDP, the New Democrats, and 44 went to the Conservatives. And we had to have a whole bunch of rigmarole. Just today, or yesterday, it was finalized that the New Democrats picked up one extra seat in the recounts. So by one seat, the New Democrats are now back in power. They are the governing party in power in our legislature. So it was quite amazing to see the huge level of turnout, because I have run I've worked in elections before, and never seen this kind of voter turnout ever before. So it's quite remarkable. So anyway, as far as my job went, you know, I was in charge of the entire poll. So I was managing the 10 employees. I had five girls, ladies, doing the voter, you know, voter, dealing with the voters. You come in, you show your identification, you say, yes, this is me. And they give you a ballot, then you go and you mark your ballot in secret, and then you drop your ballot in the ballot machine, right, in the ballot. This year we had ballot counting machines, and then the ballot box. So I had five polling girls and three other employees who just did, you know, a bunch of other jobs that need to be done. And my computer expert. So what did we have? 1, 2, 3, 8. I had 8 employees. And me. And everything went really good. We had one disgruntled voter who thought the vote counting machine was a hoax. And he was very upset that we were using these machines. I'm not going to get into it. The machines seem to me to be completely untamperable. All they do is count the votes. They read the ballot and they determine where you marked your ballot, and they added one click to the person that the candidate that ticked in your box. If they couldn't read the ballot, or there was something weird about the ballot, then it would spit the ballot out and we would give it back to the person and say, you fucked up your ballot, do you want to change it and make sure your vote counts, or are you a grumpy, disgruntled person and you don't care that you don't know how to fill in a ballot and you fucked it up and we'll just count it as a spoiled ballot. So the machines they're not connected to the internet. They have a couple of data cards in them, which are proprietary data cards. You can't just go to Best Buy and buy a data card and sneak it in the machine. So they're pretty high security on these ballot counting machines. Plus, your ballot goes through the machine, goes into the ballot box. And then if there's any discrepancy, we have all of the ballots and we can count them by hand, which happened in some places. All right, so, of course, the big joke was, oh, I guess I just shredded my ballot. well, whatever. So the day went really well. Everybody was really happy. My employees were, by and large, really good. And I got some very good comments back about how I was so nice to work with. And people wrote letters, you know, emails into the elections office to say, we really appreciate this guy who was running this place. he did a really, really good job. So that's good. Things went really well for me. And I earned a little bit of money. So that was the big exciting thing that I did this last couple of weeks. Okay, well, I think that's it for me. I'm the Fade Driver. I'm still hanging on here. I'll put out an episode or two more as I think about things to talk about. And why do people... I'm riding on a two-lane highway. The lane beside me is completely open. I'm doing 70 miles an hour in a 65 mile an hour zone. And I got guys riding on my tail. Why don't you just pass me and go around me? Anyway, that's it. I'm the Fade Driver. You can email me at podcast@pinkwheelnuts.com until December the 19th. And then that's it. I'm dead. I'm gone. Never to be heard from again. Bye.